In the Gospel according to John, chapter 1, and just one verse, verse 29, will be our text for tonight in this message, stepping aside from our series of the great chapters, even though the first chapter of John is one of the greatest in all the revealed word. I'm going to center for a few moments our attention upon verse 29, in keeping with the theme of our cantata and of this season, when we commemorate the incarnation, the coming into the flesh of the Lord Jesus Christ. After we have a word of prayer, we shall begin our message. Our Father, we truly thank Thee for the incarnation of Thy Son. We thank Thee for the supreme sacrifice that He paid on Calvary's cross for our sins. We thank Thee, Heavenly Father, that the choir has been able to sing about love transcending. We thank Thee that Thy love is far too much for us to measure. We thank Thee, Heavenly Father, that Thou hast expressed it all in the gift of Thy Son. We know that if every man on earth tonight were a scribe, if every stalk on earth were a quill, if the skies of the heavens themselves were a scroll, it would be an impossible task to write Thy love. We thank Thee for it, manifest in the person of Thy Son, who on Calvary's tree bore our sins in His own body, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness. May this be our light. May this be the supply of our every need. May it be our hope and the hope of those that are yet in darkness of sin. In Jesus' name we ask it, and for His sake, with thanksgiving. Amen. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Our emphasis here is on the Lamb of God taking away the sins of the world. Let us look carefully at the word world for our emphasis tonight in this message, the Christ of the world. Behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world. Christ does not belong to America. Why, Christianity did not even have its beginning in one of the 50 great states. Yonder in Palestine, in a little out-of-the-way city called Bethlehem, the city of David, the house of bread, there was born almost 2,000 years ago the Son of God into the flesh. We commonly refer to it as the Incarnation. Jesus was born, Jesus lived, Jesus died to take away the sins of the world. Christ belongs to the world. In His vision, He saw the world. With His divine ears, He hears the cry of the world. And the world is crying tonight. From out behind the iron curtain, from behind the bamboo curtain, from the dark corners of the world tonight, there comes the voice of an oppressed people. And then from great denominations and great churches and great saints of God around the world, there's another voice. It's the voice of oppression. The voice cries, How long, O Lord, how long? How long ere the Lord Jesus Christ shall come again in majestic glory and establish His kingdom upon the earth and reign and rule over all the world from the city of Jerusalem? With His arms, the Lord Jesus Christ embraces the whole world. When Jesus came down from heaven, He came to the world. When Jesus went to the cross, He went to the cross for the world. When Jesus died and offered His life's blood yonder on Calvary's tree and sprinkled His blood upon the mercy seat, as it were, in heaven, the Holy of Holies not made with hands, He did it for all the sins of the world. The world has many masters tonight. The sun masters the day. Darkness masters the night. The king bee masters the beehive. Gravitation is the master of matter. And monarchs master many nations. But hear me when I say it tonight. Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, the Rose of Sharon, the bright and morning star, the lily of the valley, the bread of life, the water of life, the resurrection and life, the great potentate of our soul, the bishop and shepherd of our hearts. He's the master of the universe tonight. Put it down, Jesus Christ does not struggle for prominence or preeminence or power or position in the world tonight. He already has it. And when the hour comes, he shall exert his authority and his power through his kingdom over every nation under the shining sun. He fashioned every atom. He stands tonight behind all the forces of nature. He is the magnet that holds all the universal systems together. Jesus Christ broke the boundary of all nations and all races to become the Savior of the world. No scientist can calculate his dimensions. No geologist can fashion a rock like the Rock of Ages. No astronomer can discover the star like the bright and morning star. No botanist can grow a lily as sweet as the lily of the valley. On him the eyes of the world tonight are focused. Around him the thought of the universe revolves. In him, the love of God is made known. From him, the light of the world radiates. By him, the soul of every man can be redeemed. Because of him, we are right where we are in this moment. In him, we live and move and have our being. Take Christ out of Christianity and you don't have anything left. Take the Christ of the ages out of the picture of mankind, and mankind is helplessly lost. Perish the thought that Jesus Christ would ever lose his power. Perish the thought that the blood of the Son of God would ever lose its saving efficacy. Perish the thought that Jesus Christ would for one moment slumber or sleep. For by him and through him and in him are all things. Who upholdeth all things by the word of his power. He's going to make the sun shine tomorrow. He makes the stars twinkle in their sockets tonight. We talk about the satellites going about the earth, and they're going on their own momentum. Oh, no, they're not. If Jesus withdraws his hand from the satellites tonight, they'll all collapse and burn up in outer space. He's ruling space and time and earth and eternity, and the issues of life and death are in his hands. Jesus Christ is the world's Christ. No wonder John said in his first epistle, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, even Jesus the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins." And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. That word propitiation simply means he's the mercy seat for our sins. Shedding his own blood, sprinkling his own blood upon the mercy seat, he's washed away our sins. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I tell you tonight, if the Lord Jesus Christ were not reigning in the universe, in heaven and upon earth, and I know sometimes it seems like that he's not ruling in the affairs of men. But take Christ out of the picture and man is confused and man is confounded and man is mixed up and man is anxious. That's why we ought to keep Christ in Christmas during these days. It is his birth that we commemorate. It is the incarnation that we talk about when Christ came, whether it be on the 25th of December as we know it, or whether it be on some other day in some other month. The time doesn't matter, as long as we keep in mind the fullness of the time, God's time, had already come when Jesus came to be man. And now we can see Jesus Christ is the Christ of the world. Note with me just three things. Jesus Christ is the need of the world. This world tonight is a wicked world. I don't know anything short of the blood of Christ that can save America, that can save the nations of earth, that can save lost humanity. We might try all of our periods and all of our acts and actions of reformation, doing good, doing the best we can, turning all of these things over anew. But without the shedding of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the wicked world remains the same. It's a war-torn world tonight. Ask the mothers, ask the wives, ask the children, ask the families of those who've received the word. Son killed in action. Husband missing in a flight over the Vietnam territories. Ask them tonight. It's a war-torn world. We meet about the peace tables and we meet in our conferences and high-level discussions, and we leave out the most important one. How can we ever have peace without him who is the Prince of Peace? It's like saying we're going to have water without rain. It's like we're going to say we're going to have energy without the sun. It can't be had. There can be no peace in a war-torn world without Jesus. And though the nations of earth be at odds one with another, and though the world be perplexed and troubled and distressed, and though there's disharmony and disunity and difficult and trying moments, I'm glad we can say with the Apostle Paul, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Jesus said, peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. My peace I leave with you. And that's the peace that the world did not give. And 10,000 times, 10,000 times, hallelujah, hallelujah, the world cannot take it tonight. Because Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. It's a woeful world we live in. There are needs in every country, on every continent. And I wish that somehow, some way, we could tell the world tonight that Jesus Christ will meet every need. He is the world's need. Secondly, Jesus Christ is the world's light. He's the light for the darkness. He's the light for all the disillusionment. He's the light for the direction of the world. The world is stumbling along in darkness tonight. We studied in the tabernacle the candlestick with the middle shaft and the three branches on either side. We saw in that a picture of Christ, the light of the world. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And did you know that the only light that the priest had within the tabernacle was the light from the candlestick? There was no natural light. I say to you tonight, the only light that we have to carry us through the darkness of this life and over the darkness of the path of the course of the nations of earth, or in families and homes and individual lives, the only true light we have is Jesus Christ. He is the light. He giveth light to all men. The world knew him not. John said he was in the world. He made the world, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Jesus Christ is the light of the world tonight. Though there be dark valleys in your experience, though death itself should have a dark valley, Jesus Christ has promised to go with us. He makes every dark valley light, because he is the light of the world. And finally, not only is Jesus the need of the world and the light of the world, but Jesus Christ is the only hope of this world. Our hope tonight is not in how many missiles that we can stockpile. Our hope tonight is not in how many satellites we can send circling about the globe. Our hope is not in how many men we can train to march on a battlefield. Our hope is not how soon we'll get a man to the moon and back. If our hope stops at the moon, it stops far too short. Our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. The world has no other answer to all its ills but Jesus Christ. I'm glad we have the word of the angel. Ye men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing here into the heavens? This same Jesus who is taken away from you into the heavens shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go. We have a word from the Apostle Paul. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so also them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, we who are alive and remain unto the coming of Christ shall not precede them that are asleep. For the Lord himself, I like that, not a prophet, not a priest, not an angel, but the Lord himself, shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. The beloved John has a word, beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he doth appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. In the last moments that Jesus spent with his disciples, he carried them to the upper room. He told them the plan of the ages. Jesus said in John 14, let not your heart be troubled. There's a whole lot to trouble the hearts of men and women tonight. But right over all of it, let not your heart be perplexed. Don't be disturbed. Don't be dismayed. Don't be disappointed. Don't be upset. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. We're going to heaven one day. You know why? You'll read it in John chapter 17. Jesus, in his high priestly mediatorial prayer, said, Father, I would that those whom thou hast given me could be with me, could be where I am, could be one with me. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. What's your foot on tonight, mister? What's your hope? What's your foundation? Where are you standing? If you're outside Christ, you better come to the ark of safety tonight. Jesus will meet your need. Jesus will give you light. Jesus will be your hope as we pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for these moments. We thank thee for the cantata. We thank thee for the preaching of thy word. We thank thee for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we ask in these days when we commemorate his coming into the world and into the human family that thou wouldst help us to see tonight that he is the Savior of the world. Should there be one person here tonight, man or woman, boy or girl, ask that in these moments the Holy Spirit might grip their hearts, the Holy Spirit might bring them to the place of absolute surrender, that they would open the door of their heart and let the Christ of the world walk in. Should there be those who are seeking a church home, Heavenly Father, don't let them tarry any longer. Before 1966 ever ends and the new year begins, thy Son may come. Don't let them be found unaffiliated, unattached, unidentified. May they come tonight and identify themselves with a church that teaches and preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ. Should there be those, Heavenly Father, who need to come for a time of prayer and dedication and surrender of their hearts and lives, may they come even in this moment as we pray and ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake.